He turned and noticed the fish salesman. With a snarl, Death reached out a bony finger and stopped the man's heart. But he didn't take much pride in it. Then Death remembered what was due to happen later that night. It would not be true to say that Death smiled, because in any case his features were perforce frozen in a calcareous grin. But he hummed a little tune, cheery as a plague pit, and pausing only to extract the life from a passing mayfly, and 1/9 of the lives from a cat cowering under the fish stall. All cats can see into the octarin. Death turned on his heel and set off towards the broken drum. Short Street, Moorpork, is in fact one of the longest in the city. Filigree Street crosses its turnwise end in the manner of the crosspiece of a T, and the broken drum is so placed that it looks down the full length of the street. At the furthermost end of Short Street, a dark oblong rose on hundreds of tiny legs and started to run. At first it moved at no more than a lumbering trot, but by the time it was halfway up the street it was moving arrow-fast. A darker shadow inched its way along one of the walls of the drum, a few yards from the two trolls who were guarding the door. Rincewind was sweating. If they heard the faint clinking of the specially prepared bags at his belt. One of the trolls tapped his colleague on the shoulder, producing a noise like two pebbles being knocked together. He pointed down the starlit street. Rincewind darted from his hiding place, turned, and hurled his burden through the drum's nearest window. Withel saw it arrive. The bag arced across the room, turning slowly in the air, and burst on the edge of a table. A moment later, gold coins were rolling across the floor, spinning, glittering. The room was suddenly silent, save for the tiny noises of gold and the whimpers of the wounded. With a curse, Withel dispatched the assassin he had been fighting. "It's a trick," he screamed. "No one move!" 30 men and 12 trolls froze in mid-grope. Then, for the third time, the door burst open. 2 trolls hurried through it, slammed it behind them, dropped the heavy bar across it, and fled down the stairs. Outside, there was a sudden crescendo of running feet, and for the last time, the door opened. In fact, it exploded, the great wooden bar being hurled far across the room, and the frame itself giving way. Door and frame landed on a table, which flew into splinters. It was then that the frozen fighters noticed that there was something else in the pile of wood. It was a box, shaking itself madly to free itself of the smashed timber around it. Rincewind appeared in the ruined doorway, hurling another of his gold grenades. It smashed into a wall, showering coins. Down in the cellar, Broadman looked up, muttered to himself, and carried on with his work. His entire Spindlewinter's supply of candles had already been strewn on the floor, mixed with his store of kindling wood. Now he was attacking a barrel of lamp oil. "Insurance," he muttered. Oil gushed out and swirled around his feet. Withel stormed across the floor, his face a mask of rage. Rincewind took careful aim and caught the thief full in the chest with a bag of gold. But now Ymir was shouting and pointing an accusing finger. A raven swooped down from its perch in the rafters and dived at the wizard, talons open and gleaming. It didn't make it. At about the halfway point, the luggage leapt from its bed of splinters, gaped briefly in midair, and snapped shut. It landed lightly. Rincewind saw its lid open again, slightly, just far enough for a tongue, large as a palm leaf, red as mahogany, to lick up a few errant feathers. At the same moment, the giant candle wheel fell from the ceiling, plunging the room into gloom. Rincewind, coiling himself like a spring, gave a standing jump and grasped a beam, swinging himself up into the relative safety of the roof with a strength that amazed him.
"Exciting, isn't it?"
said a voice by his ear. Down below, thieves, assassins, trolls and merchants all realized at about the same moment that they were in a room made treacherous of foothold by gold coins and containing something, among the suddenly menacing shapes in the semi-darkness, that was absolutely horrible. As one, they made for the door, but had 2 dozen different recollections of its exact position. High above the chaos, Rincewind stared at Two Flower.
"Did you cut the lights down?" he hissed.
"Yes."
"How come you're up here?"
"I thought I'd better not get in everybody's way."
Rincewind considered this. There didn't seem to be much he could say. Two Flower added,
"A real brawl, better than anything I'd imagined. Do you think I ought to thank them, or did you arrange it?"
Rincewind looked at him blankly.
"I think we ought to be getting down now," he said hollowly. "Everyone's gone."
He dragged Two Flower across the littered floor and up the steps. They burst out into the tail end of the night. There were still a few stars, but the moon was